kind of make me nervous when I drink it.
Now, more than ever, we need music!
Music. Made by musicians for you to listen to.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Welcome to Stars of Jazz, a program filled with the exciting and scintillating rhythms of America's own music, and the story of its colorful history as told by the well-known singer-composer, Bobby Troup. And now, let's listen to Stars of Jazz.
Tasty dish, as tastefully delivered by the quintet of tonight's first star of jazz, Mr. Buddy Collette, with Buddy on just one of the multitude of instruments on which he's the master of the alto sax. In addition to an occasional excursion into jazz with one Shelley Mann or any of my other friends, I spend most of my time writing musical scores for films at MGM Studios. And in this connection, I've been asked to dwell, oh, for maybe a minute or two tonight, on my thoughts regarding jazz as it relates to mood music for the movies. Now, as I say, I spend a great deal of time scoring pictures, and I also spend a great deal of time playing jazz. And therefore, it seems doubly sad to me that, despite the ever-growing popular acceptance of jazz today, it still really hasn't cracked the barrier of motion picture music. Oh, and in the past few years, there have been certain dramatic pictures that have utilized a jazz background score, jazz-influenced score, and a good one at that. But it seems unfair, to put it mildly, to me, that this kind of music, jazz, is always used as the background for a scene in which somebody is stealing a car. I exaggerate, of course, to make a point, but I don't think I am exaggerating when I say that the movies have not really admitted yet to the purely musical entertainment value of modern jazz. An occasional big band track seeps through, or maybe once in a while some Dixieland, but that's all right now. I, for one, have never seen a production number in a big musical that featured some of the great jazz artists of today. I haven't even heard these artists featured on the background track for such a number for, let's say, a famous dancer or a singer. I think that right now, motion picture music is better than it ever has been before. It certainly is on a higher musical level than ever before. And I think, by and large, also, it's very easy to hear some really excellent music in today's motion picture scores. So I think it is a shame that despite the fact that jazz is now an accredited, a popular, and a very well-selling musical commodity, it hasn't really gotten its own niche yet in motion picture music. I can only hope that very soon jazz will find that well-earned niche in motion picture music along with every other kind of good modern music. And at the risk of repeating myself, I want to illustrate something. To illustrate that jazz isn't necessarily always to be played behind a scene for some kind of violence. Here, imagine during the next selection that this is in the back of a scene featuring, oh, let's say, two very happy kids, this time featuring our guest Buddy Collette on flute. Here is Soft Touch. Buddy Collette on flute, Wilfred Middlebrook on bass, Al Viola guitar, Jerry Wilson trumpet, and the fugitive from Kismet on finger cymbals, Earl Palmer, and Soft Touch. Our solo star for jazz tonight is Les Thompson, who plays the harmonica. And before any jazz purist raises a cry that the harmonica is not really a jazz instrument, let's look at the record. There's a very good precedent for the use of less than legitimate, if you like, instruments in jazz, in the case of one Red McKenzie. In 1923, McKenzie became the leader of a group called the Mound City Blueblowers, an ensemble that featured nothing as high class as a harmonica, but rather a kazoo and a comb and tissue paper. McKenzie was a singer, He was also a frustrated trumpet player, and he gave vent to this frustration by playing trumpet style on a comb. And it most certainly was jazz. So, as long as 34 years ago, Red McKenzie demonstrated that jazz is freewheeling enough as an art form for any instrument to be qualified. In the case of Les Thompson, the harmonica can stand beside any horn in the field of jazz. That's because Les happens to play it so well. And for proof, listen to There'll Never Be Another You. Thompson, and There'll Never Be Another You. Les, sounds wonderful.
Thank you, Andre.
Listen, it wasn't very long ago that the Musicians Union finally considered the harmonica as a legitimate instrument, was it?
I tell you, I don't really know. I joined in 1946, I think it was.
Well, at that time they must have considered it an instrument then. Was there any particular harmonica player who got them to accept that?
I think it was Larry Adler. He's a pretty good harmonica
player. Yes, he is. I worked for him years and years ago.
Oh, really?
Yes, I did. Les, most of your playing has been done in solo work in front of groups, but have you ever considered how the harmonica would sound as part of an ensemble, the way, like, say, Buddy's Woodwinds and Jerry Wilson's trumpet work?
I wish I could get a group to sound like Buddy's Woodwinds. I've had groups with guitar that blends pretty good. As a matter of fact, it blends good with flute. I'll get together with Buddy after this gig and have a session or something.
Well, wonderful. Thank you. I tell you why. I think that probably the way you play it would sound good with a full military brass band. At any rate, now for a Les Thompson treatment of the ballad form. Here he is to play Don't Take Your Love From Me.
Thank you.
There was a time in jazz, not too terribly long ago, when a musician was expected to show up for work with his one horn and play. And that was all. Just the one horn. And if he didn't know how to read music, well, that was all right, too, if he played jazz. But today, a good deal more is expected of the top jazzmen. And Buddy Collette is a very fine case in point. Whether it's on alto, tenor, baritone, clarinet, flute, alto flute, or even that seldom-seen bass clarinet, Buddy plays with both musical proficiency and a great jazz feeling. Hi, Buddy.
Andrew, how are you?
I've seen you walk into recording studios with enough crates, I thought it was a truck outside.
Yeah, it's pretty heavy stuff.
I know. Tell me something. Did this jack of all trades and master of all of them did that happen accidentally, or did you set out with a planned program?
Well, I didn't set out with a plan, but I found when I was trying to get certain colors and a certain variety, I needed to play more instruments. Yeah. Like on some of the ballads, I wanted to... you know, some soft like flute and some of the more blowing things, tenor or alto, and clarinet for some subdued type things.
Well, that's an admirable plan. I also wish I could play all those things, but I only play one instrument.
You really play that well in the writing and composing, so it's
well,
great.
Thank you. Of course, you do a great deal of composing and arranging, too.
That's right.
But listen, I have to ask you something personal,
and
that is that I noticed tonight you are following what I consider a very dangerous trend. How come you're not using a piano?
Well, I'm going to tell you. I like piano, and I like you, naturally. And the only thing is, when we started the group, the piano players that I would like to have with the group were pretty busy. You're busy yourself, and the other good pianists in town. So we thought we'd try a guitar man. It's working out very great with the,
yes,
with
it
the
is.
Sound.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what happened.
Well,
but
thank
speaking
you.
Of pianos, Andre, what's happening to you with these days?
Well, I'm just playing the one instrument. Enough about me, certainly, and enough of small talk, Buddy. Thank you very, very much. And why don't we hear now the quintet with Buddy on tenor this time. He is a versatile fella, and he will play Under Paris Skies.
The greatness of jazz is not only in the music itself, but in the ever-changing qualities of this music. To be the dynamic art it is, jazz must find new paths, new expressions, new voices. But as jazz changes, I don't think it loses the identity of any of its forms, but rather it constantly strengthens its place in our music, in our culture, in our life. No matter what the medium of expressing this music, if it is expressed well, with sincerity and with dignity, jazz will continue to gain in stature and importance. And all of you have been of great significance in shaping and influencing this youngest, this most vital of the arts.
Your host for Stars of Jazz is Bobby Troup. Executive producer is Peter Robinson. The program was produced by Jimmy Baker, written by Bob Abergast, with audio by Chuck Lewis. Stars of Jazz has come to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.
Well, that's it for this track of Heirloom Radio, a different kind of oldie show on SoundCloud. My name is John Lovering, and I invite you to check out my Facebook page at www.facebook.com/heirloomradio. Please follow this podcast, as I can guarantee you will hear a wide variety of not only top-quality old-time radio shows, but shows that have been restored to bring you a superior listening experience. Thank you for listening. I do not take it for granted. So until next time, stay well and be safe.